And this should be Rob. There we go. All right. You see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. Before we get started, did you have any burning questions?
And not burning questions, no.
Okay. Cancel. I'm going to start. Okay. Okay. So just make sure, you know, when we hit the 2-minute mark, if I haven't answered some of your questions, make sure you ask me. So, oh, you had glucagon tested. Interesting. I haven't seen anybody do glucagon before. Blood sugar is basically what's showing up for you.
Right.
All right. And then, you know, low probabilities, but a little bit of markers for inflammation, allergy, heavy metals. Yeah, it's actually looking really good. So B12 folate, what? Yeah. Not a surprise. Everybody here has been having that. Okay. So do you have any previous ones in here? Let's see. Not worth looking at this one. I like this one better if I'm going to look. And we only have one number. Oh, it's all right around the same time. Glucose and insulin. Okay, good. I'll just look at the one that's easy to read,
right,
which is this one. All right, so your glucose is high. Is that pretty typical when you test your own glucose?
No, not at all.
What is it typically?
I'm pretty sure it's related to the collection sites. It's very stressful to me.
Even now it's probably more stressful, right? Because you don't know what kind of sick people are sitting around in the office with you, and you know, they're poking at you and they're not always the most pleasant. And I get it. A lot of people do have their insulin go up. A lot of times what I recommend people do is that you bring your glucose meter with you. You test it in the morning before you leave your house, so you get your true fasting glucose, because this isn't really true fasting. It's hours later after you've driven and are in these crazy places. But you do that, and then right when you're sitting in the waiting room and waiting for them to call you in, you do your glucose again. And then when you leave, you do it again. And then you compare it to what happened during the test. Gives you an idea of how accurate your blood glucose meter is as well.
And this is before I learned the power of heart math. If I had done that before, it would have helped a lot.
It would have helped a lot. Thank you. I'm glad that, how did you learn the power?
Just by doing it.
Just by doing it.
It's amazing.
It's great. And your insulin's good. It's below 5. So that's good. Iron is good. Ferritin is a little high compared to the iron. Like, they're the exact same number, but comparatively speaking, but we'll look to see what other signs there are. Sometimes the ferritin starts to go up when there's signs of inflammation or liver dysfunction. And sometimes this ratio is fine. It's just a little bit above. It's not that far off. But where I'm really concerned is I see people with like a 43 on their iron and 200 on their ferritin. Then we're looking at serious inflammatory stuff. These all look good. Reverse T3. You only got reverse T3? What happened to the rest of it?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you about that.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting a full thyroid test.
Yeah.
It turned out that my cardiologist only wanted to do a reverse T3. And if that was good, he said it's not necessary to do the full thyroid. So I was kind of tricked there.
You know, here's the thing that they don't understand when they don't understand functional medicine, is that reverse T3 by itself is not that useful, unless it's like off the charts. But because what really matters is the ratio between free T3 and reverse T3, right? And the ratio between T4 and then, so yeah, it's normal, but... Yeah. I mean, you don't present as a hypothyroid type person, right? But, you know, you've had the cardiovascular stuff, which I want to see if there's any relationship between the thyroid affecting your glucose, your lipids and all.
Right.
RBC, hemoglobin is a little low for male. What was your iron? So I would be considering, B6 as a possibility of deficiency, because here's your iron sitting nice and pretty and your hemoglobin is low, and the body takes the hemoglobin and, you know, binds it around the iron and turns it into hemoglobin. And if it doesn't have enough B6, that could be cause of it. So write down vitamin B6 and your MCV is high. So this is like, MCV being high, it can be folate or B12. Yeah. Mostly, that's usually what it is.
Right. Well, I think the I take methyl CPG, which is B12 and other Bs, and B6 is one of them in there.
Is it a sublingual? Is it a capsule that you take orally?
It is a capsule, yeah.
It's a capsule. So here's the thing with B12. B12, especially as we get older and older, relies on having enough good intrinsic factor in your stomach. And as we get older, the absorption of B12 goes down. So typically, the best way to supplement B12 is either sublingual, liposomal, which bypasses the normal route of absorption, or topical, right? So if you're taking B12 and it's in that capsule and your MCV is high, then it's probably not getting absorbed. So my guess would be it's the B12. Folate generally gets absorbed just fine through a capsule, mm-hmm. but the B12 does not. So you might consider getting either the sublingual or there's a couple of ways. Perk has a good hydroxy B12 sublingual that's easy to take. And without knowing, you know, status, your methylation status and your genes and all would be a safe one to take until we know that. Mm-hmm. But that's what I would look at. And then those of you who have mentioned B12 too before, that's another possibility is the sublingual. They do have a little xylitol in there. So I don't always recommend it to people if I know they have gut stuff, because xylitol can irritate your gut.
Okay.
But good. The liposomal B12 is another option.
Okay. Excellent. Right.
RDW, this is probably related to that B12 anemia, you know, my macrocytic anemia.
Right.
White blood cells are a little on the low side, but not so much that I'm concerned unless I see something else. Did you have any kind of respiratory thing or any kind of cold, flu, whatever?
Yeah, nothing serious, but I know.
Doesn't matter. It'll go up with a cold, right?
Yeah. Not even a full, maybe just kind of.
And it's only a little bit, and your white blood cells, let's see. Have you ever been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease?
No.
Okay. But the basophils are up. Okay. And that's oftentimes related to parasites.
Oh.
Okay, mast cell, allergies or parasites. The eosinophils are usually up with the basophils if it's allergy. With the eosinophils in a normal state, I would tend to think that we'd want to rule out parasites.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of ways to do it. You can go through the GRAND program, which, you know, you have access to. And we have a whole process, like, it's a process for balancing each section of the gut without having to do the testing, right? If somebody has a serious problem and or they don't get well from that, we have them do the testing. But there's a simple 28-day parasite cleanse protocol. Very basic, very safe. It's not one that's going to make you topple over and feel sick, because some of them do, right? Oh. As you release those. So I would look at that.
Okay.
Okay. The rest of this looks good. Yeah, that's weird about the thyroid.
Yeah.
Very weird. And your insulin went from 2.9. Why'd you get the insulin tested a second time?
I probably didn't ask for it. It's just what my cardiologist, you know. Ordered.
On two different occasions, like a month apart?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting that there's not cardiac numbers that. Like, where are the cardiac numbers? Oh, yeah, they're there. And they're perfectly okay. Why didn't this show up? Oh, that was what? Wait a minute. Why didn't that show up on this one? Did I skip that page? Okay, so we have glucose, hematocrit, MCV, we have lymphocytes. That's kind of interesting. That concerns me that I have to look at all of these, because it didn't show your... Didn't show your cholesterol levels up there in any of those except for this one. It's concerning. I don't know, something with the report.
I think it's because it was from the previous report. Is the one on the right the current report and the one on the left is the previous? I think. Look at the top. Yeah. Yeah, that's why. Yeah. The reports run on the October. One. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Got to be careful about that. Got it. Okay.
See, actually, there's probably a missing report here because I actually did this in March. It's missing Marches where it measured my cholesterol.
Okay. Yeah. Did you upload the March one?
I did. Yeah.
March might be all the way down at the comparison.
Oh, the three-part one.
Yeah, it might be there. I think it is. I think I did all three.
The latest two tests.
Huh. Oh, yep. You know what? That's because is this the patient report? It might not be on the patient report.
It is, so.
Is it? Well, let me go back in his thing and look. I'll be back with you in a minute. Let me go check.
All right. Yeah, that's interesting. I've not seen this before. Okay. So the cholesterol, 241 triglycerides are good. LDL is high. HDL is good. Triglyceride HDL ratio is good. So, you know, that's kind of an indicator of blood sugar. The ratio is high and your homocysteine is high.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, here's the thing. I know you're taking a supplement that has the B12 and the folate in it, but probably it's not enough. So I think you need to address the B12, folate, and the B6, all three, right? And I would address the B12 as either sublingual or liposomal. And I would address the folate, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. And the but it needs to be a methyl folate. It needs to be like the MTHF, 6-methyltetrahydrofolate. That's going to be your most absorbed one. And then the third one is the B6 in the form of P5P, pyridoxal 5-phosphate. Okay. And somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 50 milligrams a day. Okay. The B12, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 micrograms, and the folate, maybe 800. Somewhere in those ranges. It doesn't have to be exact.
Okay.
All right. Because we got to get your homocysteine down. Your doctor may think that that's okay. Because I think it's like if it's under 11 or 12, it's considered normal. But given your history, I would like to see this 8 or less.
It was going down because it was 11 something.
It was 11. Good. Well, it's 10.5, which is, you know, close to 11. But going in the right direction. So I would just up those vitamins because you can actually see this number go into normal range or drop down dramatically within like 8 weeks, 3 months at the most with doing the right supplementation. I mean, Seeking Health has one that's called HomoCystex, which is intended for that, has all of them in it plus other stuff. But I would still be concerned that you're not going to get as much the B12 out of that because it's not sublingual. It's an oral capsule, but it's very much designed for bringing down homocysteine. So you might want to look at that, but also do the liposomal B12 along with it or the sublingual.
Yeah. My cardiologist said, take the B12 every other day because it has a long half-life. So
you could once you get it normalized. Right. He's totally right with that. Once you get and you're just trying to get maintained, but you're trying to fill a deficiency.
Yeah.
Right. And your homocysteine is too high and your MCV is too high. And so once you get that, then you can figure out how often to take it. But if you're going to take it, then you take a higher dose. Right. If you only want to take it two, three times a week, just take the higher dose when you take it. But then without knowing your genes, we run the risk of maybe you're sensitive to overmethylation and that causes you to become like anxious and, you know, crazy person, which we don't want to take that risk. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. What, I think we're done. Yeah. So if you have any last question, we'll answer it. Otherwise we'll move on.
I have one last question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my cholesterol is at 241, which my cardiologist is fine with that. He don't care. And cholesterol is good. However, I would like to bring it down naturally because my genetics do indicate that I'm always going to have high LDL.
Higher, yeah, okay.
But so I noticed in you had a Dr. Khan as a speaker on one of your.
Yeah.
And he was chewing on spirulina chlorella.
Spirulina, yeah.
So I got some of that, but you know, I hate buying things when I don't know how to take it. And I'd like to.
It's food. So don't worry. You know, if it's food, just chew them whenever you want, right? Just a handful of them a day.
Okay.
The other thing is, has your cardiologist ordered an advanced lipid panel on you to look at see, that's what I would do, given your history, right? I would do an advanced lipid panel, right? And then look at LPA. And Dr. Khan has a book he just came out with, the LPA book, right? You got it, right? So wouldn't you like to know if that's an issue for you and what kind of things you can do about it?
Right.
Do you want to know if you have those large, buoyant or small, dense LDL particles? Yes. If you have nice, large, fluffy ones and your LPA is good, and then you can like go, oh, you know, this is okay. It's not a big deal. The other thing, if you haven't done it, is the, I mentioned it earlier, which is the calcium score. Oh, and Dr. Khan talks about it in that book too, but it's the calcium score to see where it's at, right? My husband has numbers like this. And, you know, it's like, you freak out, right? Ah, what are you going to do? But everything else is fine. His homocysteine is low, right? So yours is a little high. Where's your CRP? I don't see CRP in here.
I think it's good.
Okay, good. CRPHS. Yeah. So, but when he got his calcium score, he breathes now. He's happy now because he doesn't feel like, oh my God, all this work I've done and I'm still at risk. Because there's like 8 out of 400 calcium buildup at age 70, right? He's like, I got the cardiac vessels of a 27-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. A healthy 27-year-old. So yay, that's good. So those are kinds of things that help you to sleep at night and know that you're not at risk.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, great.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
I went back in and looked in Biochanic, and there's no blood work in there for March. So if you have it and you want to upload it, I would be happy to add it for you. Is Isabel your coach, or you can let her know?
Stephanie is.
Stephanie. Okay.
But I'm due for another blood test, so I'll just wait for that.
Okay. But it is good to have. So if you do have your March, upload it.
Okay.
And we'll add that, or upload it when you get your new one.
Yeah.
And we'll put it all in there so we can see what the pattern has been.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I
have one more question, Dr. Rita.
Yeah.
Is it the creatinine kinase isoenzyme with total CK or without total CK that I need?
I do it with total. Yeah.
Total CK.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Rich. Where's Rich? He's been here all day. Is he still here? Hope he didn't leave. No, there he is, Rich. I love. No? Rich and then Jill. So I'll take either one first. All right. Whichever one. Oh, there you go. All right, Rich. How we go? All right. Let me mark you and go to yours. This is Rob's, I'm going to put away. This is Steve. We'll move over. And Rich. Okay.
Want to open me up for record, please?
Yep, I will hit you up for record. Allow to record. Let me stop my recording and then start it again.